Thank you very much. The first thing you say, what exactly would you like me to do for you? Are you getting my point? You don't, in fact, I am one person that, please, don't ever do anything else apart from that. And I think most people are like that. You don't just get up and say, all right, I want to work for this man. You go and ask, what does he want? You may enter his compound, I think his car is dirty, therefore you should wash it for him. And say, I left that car as an exhibit to teach people coming tomorrow on what dirt in a car can look like. And you'll have messed up by washing it for him without asking. Even Jesus looked at a man, and the man said, hey, son of David, have mercy on me. An obviously blind man. Jesus looked at him and said, what is it that you want me to do for you? Because the man may not want to be cured of the blindness. It may be something else. He said, what can I do for you? He says, I never chop since morning. So he will say, Judas, whatever you have remaining in the purse, after you have stolen your portion, give this guy. Now, why did I say that? If you want to work for God, the first thing you ask is, what exactly does he want done? That's what I'm saying. What exactly does he want done? I have noticed something. I want to remove that thing from your head. Don't think God, you know, I said it yesterday. Don't think God is very happy. He's particularly pleased. You know, I hear people say that he's a very humble man. That man is very humble. He can go to church and sweep. And you know, it never impresses me. Honestly. You know, it doesn't impress. Part of it is this, how I told you, our idolatrous mentality. The man who can go to church and sweep, ask him a simple question. Do you sweep in your house? Have you ever thought about that? He doesn't sweep in his house. But the sign that he's a humble man is that he can sweep in church. Listen to me. That's arrant balderdash. Nonsense. If I want to see the humble man, let me see the bank executive who can sweep the banking hall. Not the one that can sweep in church. Anybody can sweep in church. We all sweep in church. You want to prove to me you are humble? Let me walk into the banking hall. I say, I'm a humble man. I'm the manager. But the cleaner is not around. Our customers are about to open. You quickly roll up your sleeves and you join them in dusting the counters. Then I know you are humble. Not that when you get to the bank, you walk in. I am the BM. Or ORM. What did you call it? BORM, whatever you call it. Branch operations, regional, whatever manager. You cannot sweep. When you get to church, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ah, this is the house of God. That's idolatry. One day I went to a man's house. I said, where is he? He said he went for security duty. I said, what? They said he went for security duty. What did he say? He said he went for security duty. I said, please, excuse me. This man is a very high-ranking person in a big institution in Nigeria. They said in church that they have men on rotation for security of church perimeter. I said, that's why you call me a rebel. If I go to that kind of church, I won't join you. I will tell you simply. Because at that level in life, why don't you create employment for two young men? Say, do my duty in church. I'm just trying to debunk some things. We think that once it is around the building, we are doing the work of God specially. First ask God, what exactly do you want me to do? You have not asked. Listen, a lot of the things we do in the name of trying to work for God, we are just carrying over our idolatry. That's what I'm trying to explain. Once we see the temple, the shrine, everybody is humble. I said yesterday, God does not mark register in church. I hope you heard me correctly. Where does he mark register? The humble man who sweeps in church, God says, wait, he doesn't know I'm not there counting. I go to his office. Let me give an example of humility. There's one man, I don't even know whether he's a believer or not. He was a chief medical director in one of the first generation teaching hospitals in Nigeria. One day somebody called him. Listen, you know the way we are in Nigeria, and humans generally. And he was a very open person. Anybody could approach him. The gate man could call him and complain. That was the way he ran the institution when he was the head. The gate man could call him to complain. In fact, one day we went there. We're asking, this was for this of GSM. We wanted to make calls that we are here, you know, just to tell people things. And all of them said, no, I beg you, we can't give you this. He said that, what if, and they called the man by his first name. He could walk in any time. He was known for doing that. Everybody had a direct access to him. So one day, one of the senior registrars, for those of you who know the ranking system, was about to do an operation in surgery. I was about to do an operation, and then there was a problem with the suit. The suit he was going to use had not been cleaned. So he had waited for a while. And it was something small, I guess, that anybody could do. And it wasn't done. So he was fuming about these delays. So he picked the phone, got a call through to the CMD's office to explain to him the kind of delay that's going on. Because they have not cleaned the place. And know what the CMD asked him? If I come over there to clean it, will you go ahead with the surgery? And believe me, they knew him. The man will leave what he's doing, walk in there. His own is like, look, you have a patient waiting. You, because you're a doctor, and you can't... Like, this is not a big deal. Something anybody can... I know it's not your job. But there's a patient waiting. Now, let's settle that one first. Then after, we'll crucify somebody who did not clean it on time. I never forgot that answer. The man said, no problem. After they talked to me, he said, okay, let's do it like this. I will come and clean it. Just go ahead with your surgery. And the guy apologized, went and cleaned himself. Because when you're a big boss... Now, you know what I'm talking about? Humility. And he wasn't trying to show for anybody. His own is like, listen, don't hold this thing up because somebody's being responsible. Is this something you can do? Do it first. Then I'll fire a query to the person who didn't do it. And I don't think I'm too big to clean it. This is an annoying part. That same person will go to church. As the pastor is approaching, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. He carried the Bible. He said, he removed his tie, quickly cleaned the seats for the pastor. Listen to me. God is not there. He's not checking. Where did he check? In your office. Let me know. I think we discussed that extensively yesterday. Let me settle down. Now, so what I'm trying to explain today, you ask yourself, what exactly is it that God is doing? That's why I read these two portions of the scriptures. He said, number one, he has the first assignment. Let me tell you something. The first thing with God in life is people. What did I say? The first thing with God is people, individuals, not organizations, not buildings, not material things. It's first of all people. I said something on Tuesday when I was teaching about the spirit of, I think, of Thanksgiving or something. Anyway, I said something that God speaks. His words are so powerful, they do things on the earth. Is that all right? If God commands something, events are rearranged, all right, to confirm what he commanded. Anyway, I added another thing to it. I said that the earth does not seem to hear the voice of God directly. It tends to hear it in this dispensation when it has been filtered through the mouth and amplified by the mouth of a man. So God, that's why the Bible said that God does not do anything until he has discussed with his servants, the prophets. So he said the angels, they hearken to the voice of God's word. I believe the reason why he said the voice of God's word was to separate voice and word. If God says something, you give it voice on the earth. That's what God does. I hope you're getting my point. That's why he does not do anything until he has dealt with his servants, the prophets. They are the ones that do things by their words. So that we say, God did it. What I mean is this. He said, son of man, can these bones live? He said, thou knowest, Lord. God now said to him, God didn't say, okay, watch me, move back. Move back. Move back. Watch me make the bones live. And then bones came to bone, joint to joint, and then a great army. No, he said, prophesy, son of man, prophesy. That one said, what should I say? Then he told him what to say. Are you getting my point? The bones responded to the words from the mouth of the prophet. So you see that God is more interested, therefore, first of all, in what he's doing in people, not in the environment. At least modern day sociology and history has told us that nations don't prosper because of natural resources. You have seen it. You have seen it. They prosper because of human resources. The most prosperous nations on the earth are not like that because of natural resources. America remains the richest nation on the earth with all their problems today. You know that. But go and check. Go and check. If I tell you the minerals that are found in America, you know you don't know any one of them. What do they find in Nigeria? Quickly, you remember. what's it called? Crude oil. Ghana, gold. You know, South Africa. You start mentioning. But I ask you, which one is found in America? You start thinking, America, 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 America. You know? There's everything there. But what do you know them for? Computers. These are things you don't dig from the earth. you design them in the minds of people and then you manufacture. Software. You're talking. All the computers on the world, more than 95% carry processors made in America between Intel and AMD. Are you getting my point? I was listening to somebody discuss about the matter of Singapore. That because they don't have anything, they knew, they decided to develop the only thing they had, human resources. So that at the point in time, they were exporting refined products and they were not mining, they were not drilling crude in the country. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? God does not deal first with material things. Listen to me. Material things answer to people. Are you getting my point? It's on record that human beings have created green land where there used to be desert. This is in Israel. Japan built an airport in the center of the sea because they said there's no land. So you see, God was not worried first about whether there's land or not. Once he had people that had sense, they built the airport in the center of water. They built an island. In fact, first day time I read about it, Robert Shuler. Robert Shuler had gone to Japan telling the Japanese Christians that how come their churches are small? They said there's no land. They said they don't have many services. Say a typical church have only 50 members. And they are not caring about growing because they have a very strong culture of tithing. So the pastors are always comfortable. If 50 people tithe to you, you will be very, very comfortable. So he told them that why don't you increase the size of your church? They said that there's no land. He said that my father used to say that there's an advantage to the man who's beside the water. His land is endless. That why don't you drive away the sea and build land? And they laughed at him. So next time he came around, he saw that their unbelieving counterparts had built an airport. The center of water. They built the island. In fact, if you watch the design of it, they built it so well that the airport is sinking, they know. They keep on jacking it up. They have massive hydraulic systems and screws and all of that that jack up the airport. An airport, international airport. No natural resources. But because there was human resources, of course, since then, everybody has now understood that you can build island anytime. Even Lagos now, we are doing it. Human resources is more important as far as God is concerned than natural resources. All the nations on this earth that depend solely on natural resources, their men haven't prospered. Look at the Middle East. They have all the money. They still import everybody to do everything for them. And the day the oil will dry up, people will pack their load. You will be surprised. People will say that, you know, this is just by the way, all right? You will say, Arab country. I always laugh. I laugh at people. You want to hear a word of prophecy? Give them a few more decades. They are going back to the desert they used to be. They will go back to be nomads. All these buildings that say, Jajadi structure, Dubai. They are going to hear me. You will say, Pastor Banky said it. In your lifetime, they will come down. They will return to what they used to be. Dry land. Property price is falling. But let's not go into economics. What am I trying to explain? Without human resources, people don't look. Forget that. So I use that one to illustrate something. Therefore, understand that God also, he understands. That's where he starts from. I hope you are following the point. That is where he starts from. He doesn't start with, you know what you call it? Whether you have crude or you have gold or you have, look, listen. If you don't have it, all right, and you have the brains for it, the men that have it will bring it to you. He doesn't worry about those natural things. He knows. If you don't have it, the men that have it, if you have the brains, they will bring it to you. I've read the story again and again about how Africa got independence and all of that. And men who have analyzed it have discovered that it's all a lie. There was no independence for anybody. The men physically packed and left. Then we started gathering ourselves to go and meet them. You don't know that? Before they come, take everybody asleep. There was one that Britain started some years ago, what they call their highly skilled immigrant visa. I thought it the most wicked thing that anybody can do to fellow human beings on the earth. I was listening to a tape a few days ago. They talked about how the scoring system, if you get 75 points, are you getting my point? They give you a visa to work in UK for 2 years. They renew for 3 years. After that, you're on your way to becoming a British citizen. How do you get 75 points? Very simple. Number one, beyond that 27 years of age, you get 30 points for just being 27. If you're under 27 and you have maybe a postgraduate degree from an American university, you automatically get the 75 points. If you are under 27 and you show the level of income you were earning in your country, maybe like as of today, maybe something like a million naira a year, a month, all right? That shows you're a high-level person. They check your degrees, they give 75 points. What are they trying to do? They are showing, look, they are taking the youngest, the brightest, the most intelligent, the people who are already in managerial positions, come and work for us. Why? Because they have an aging population. I keep on saying that Africa should stop deceiving themselves that they got independence. Look, they can physically give you independence, you are still a slave in your mind. A lot of people, you know what we do? We rejoice with them when they get another chain of slavery. Maybe we live lucrative. Physically speaking, it may not look like that, but lucrative ideas and destinies. Because one country say, come and work for us. We'll pay you some more. Please, I'm not going to bring up some issues here, all right? So it's that human resource is more important than natural resources. Are you getting my point? And that's the way it is with God. When it comes to working, what God's purpose on the earth, I said, if you want to work for me, the first thing you ask, what do I want to do? When it comes to God's purpose on the earth also, don't ever forget that he's starting with people. Are you hearing that? He starts with what? People. It doesn't start with things. I have discovered, I'm sorry, this is not supposed to be an indictment on anybody. I'm not mentioning names anyway. I look around a lot of our churches as the Church of God. They are structured for development of institutions, not people. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. The first thing that God is going after is you, your heart. I read those two scriptures. You see, he said that you are destined to be conformed, and that conformation is a process. That conformation is what? A process. You see, I read the New American Standard. Go and read that story of the prodigal son. The father said to the older brother, he said, your brother that was dead has begun to live. I like that thing in this New American Standard. He said, your brother that was dead has begun to live. He's not alive yet. He's just beginning to live. I don't know whether you understand my point. Listen, the conformation is a process. Let me summarize everything I'm trying to say. The number one thing that God is going after us is work. What he's doing actively on the earth, all right, is transforming the hearts of people. And first or amongst the people is the person, the individual, that claims he or she wants to work for God. Listen, men look where? On the outside. God looks on the inside. That is why we pastors, we tend to commend those who do what we can see. And that's why the commendation of men does not equate the commendation of God. It doesn't. Look at this scenario. Jesus showed up in the house of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. Having traveled a great distance, maybe, he sat down, relaxing, and teaching the word of God. And Martha ran. Are you getting me? To go and get him something to eat. She was up and about. Up and about. Up and about. Let me not read it. Just refer to Luke chapter 10. Alright? She was up and about trying to get him something to eat. And Mary, instead of joining, listen, this is the natural human response. Who is the most dedicated person? Mary. Martha. Sorry. That's the human one. Martha was the one running up and down. Who's the most dedicated person? Martha. Who's the most committed Christian? Martha. Who is the one that's most pleasing to God? Human assessment. Martha. So Martha, of course, understood that Jesus knew that. Jesus, you know that we are the ones really serving him. Therefore, she went up to Jesus and said, can't you see that this jobless Christian is not doing your work? And the answer of Jesus must have shocked her. You know what he said? He said, Martha, he didn't even talk about Mary. He said, Martha, you are bothered about too many things. He said, when only one thing is needful. Everybody say, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Say it again, one thing is needful. There's a reason why he said one thing. I will talk about next about the spiritual order of life. He said one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that one thing that is needful, and you are telling me to take it away from her. If you read my book, Grace to Prosper, How to Work for God, I have a book on this series, all right? The book is more detailed than what I'm teaching this in just these 3 days, all right? Which is the second day, is almost over now, all right? I told a story there. It was an encounter I had with one lady, one of our sisters from my fellowship in Benin. She saw me. I was now in Lagos. Ah, Pastor Banky, which church do you go to in Lagos? You know, the answers I've given people before that always make them laugh. Anytime I repeat, people will laugh. I told her the name of the church. She said, are you actively involved in the church? I said, I'm very, very involved. She said, what do you do? I said, I'm actively involved in listening to the pastor. Do you know, I look back now, I think it was an inspired answer. Please read that book, How to Work for God. I told you a bit of a story of my life there. Don't think I've been a lazy man. I don't like to work. Listen, I'm preaching. Listen. Think about it. Since the year 2003, till today, you know, we meet every Saturday. All the month since 2003, this is the end of, this is the first week of December 2009. From the middle of 2003 that we started meeting here. All right, we take breaks in December. Otherwise, every Saturday we are here. Apart from the Saturdays that I didn't travel for my convention, where I was ordained, all right? I told you about earlier. Apart from the Saturday I didn't travel, in all these years, I have not missed Saturday teaching here, all right? Up to 10 times. I'm talking in over 6 years. So I'm not a lazy man. A lot of Saturdays I drive 4 hours to get back here. My auntie was being buried. I left when they started the service. I drove 5 hours from my hometown here so I'll be here on time to teach us all day evening. Don't think I don't like the work. As a youth copper, as a house officer, the church I attended when I was in my house job, I taught the whole church for almost a whole year. So working there is not new to me. But that lady asked me, "Say, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm actively involved in listening to the pastor." It sounded like a joke, but believe me, that's an active involvement, and that is the most active involvement you can ever be involved in anything in your life. In Kingdom World Ministries, that's why you don't sell books when I'm preaching. People can sit down inside our office there, that small office, and be making tapes. They know. Israel, you could ask them, no, you shut down every activity once Pastor Banky wants to start preaching. Because it is forbidden that you say you are working with Kingdom World Ministries and you cannot quote the things that I say. You're not working with me. You're working for your conscience. I've seen people hanging around a preacher. You ask them, what does this man say? He doesn't know. He doesn't. What the man is doing, he has no idea. And I say, what are you doing here? We have this corrupt mentality that once there's activity up and down. Jesus said one thing is needful. There's a reason why I said one thing. I'll get to that in a moment. The work of God is first inside. Listen to me. If your life is not improving as a believer, you are not working for God. You are working for the devil. The first work of God is not outside. It's a development of the godly character that's inside you. We read that in Hebrews chapter 12 to bring out an issue. He said, we have come to the spirits of just men that have been perfected. Why did I read that? God looked at Abraham and said, walk before me and be perfect. Did you notice? Oh gosh. Please listen to this clearly. Listen to this. I said there is a spiritual order in life. This is the order. Let me quickly say it. First is the spiritual thing. The outward thing automatically conforms to that which is spiritual, if it is really there. That was why James said, faith without works is dead. He wasn't saying that you must look for works to add to your faith. No, that was not what James said. What James said is that a man that has faith, works automatically follow his faith. And a lack of works is a reflection of the deadness of the faith. Works is not something you add to your faith, no. It's something that comes out of faith if it is alive. Therefore, what God works on is what is inside first. He knows what is outside will come out automatically. There's a reason why I'm saying that. Abraham. He talked about spirits of just men made perfect. God looked at Abraham and said, walk before me and let me perfect your spirit. I hope you have known what I'm saying. Let me tell you, why did it take God 25 years to give Isaac to Abraham? You want me to tell you? Because it took him 25 years to perfect Abraham for Isaac. Did you hear what I said? Why did it take God 25 years to release Isaac to Abraham after he had promised?